Dell.com/deals.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-777-1225. That's 800-777-1225. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
South Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, Producer Mona?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm in a coma. Thanks for asking.
You're in a coma.
Yeah, it's sort of a rough night, and then the tree service I hired got there at like 7:45 this morning, which is good. That's good. And I gotta say, you hire the right people. Those people are doing work. I mean, the reality is, you know, when Helene hit my property, you know, I live in an interesting situation where, like, I'm down in a valley. And when we've been hit by bad storms in the past, I mean, in the neighborhood, the people above me, they always get the brunt of it. For whatever reason, on Helene, they basically went untouched and it all settled exactly on my property. And, I mean, I have a long driveway. It's wrong, I don't know, 300 feet, whatever it is. And it's all wooded. And it basically all got wiped out. And, at the time, I had to have emergency help just to be able to get out of the driveway because there were 8-10 trees down across my driveway. And on my in the wooded area surrounding my driveway, there are probably 50 trees down. And so, you know, it essentially was – and has been a big mess other than the emergency. Well, I couldn't look at it anymore. Finally, I just had to bite the bullet and and have the whole friggin' thing cleaned out. So that's what's going on. We have lots to get to today. You know, I was talking to Sam a little during the break about Cam Cannarella. And, you know, and I think, you know, Ben hit this right in terms of I didn't get to hear a ton today, but in terms of Cam and his Major League Baseball prospects, I mean, look, this is something I talked with Bob Mahoney about long ago, and we were each of the same opinion on this, is that, you know, you can't have a Major League outfielder who can't throw. It's just that simple. And that's why he's going to suffer in the draft. There's no way around that. Unless teams have evaluated him medically and determined that, his shoulder can be fixed, that the injury can be fixed, and that he can throw again. It doesn't matter if he's friggin' Willie Mays in the outfield from a fielding perspective if he can't throw. This is the major leagues. That none of that stuff's going to work. And so that's an enormous dilemma with drafting him. There's no way past that. There just isn't. And I think he's likely to slip because of that. Now, unless, as I said, unless teams have evaluated him and determined that that they believe his issue can be repaired. If it can be repaired, then maybe he still gets drafted as an outfielder. I think in the interim, what's the most likely possibility, I suggest this to Bob then, is that he's evaluated as a second baseman. That's the only infield throw he could make. And he was originally an infielder. And quite honestly, from a body type standpoint, he sort of looks like a second baseman. Now, he's got grit and toughness and tenacity and all the stuff you want, but you can't get past the arm thing. He's not going to be a DH. He's not built for being a DH. DHs have to have power too. So, you know, I think that if he doesn't get medical clearance, then I think you're talking about second base. That's how I would evaluate him. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you know, keep in mind, all it takes is one. And you can have people who have different medical views too. You might have teams that think, man, this dude's never thrown again, and we can't possibly draft him. And you may have other teams that think, man, maybe we can fix him. I don't know. I have no way of knowing the medical part of it. None. Zero. And neither does anybody else. But just based on what we've seen, you can't get away professionally with what Cam was doing collegially. There's no way. It's impossible. You can't. And that would be the concern. You know, we've seen guys in NFL drafts with particular injuries or rumors of injuries slide significantly. I don't know what happens with Cam. As I said, you know, maybe somebody does evaluate him as a second baseman. Because I like, again, other than outfield, that's the only position he can play. More specifically, other than center, second would be the only position he can play. He's not going to be a DH. He's not definitely not going to be a right fielder. You need an elite arm. You know, I think it's center field and second base. He's not going to be a first baseman. You know, again, wrong body type, wrong everything. So I think that's what you're limited to in terms of that. And it's a shame because, you know, he's at one point he was legitimate top 10 talent. In fact, I think there were many projections of him being number one overall. You know, he's got all the right stuff, you know, to be in that mix if it wasn't for the arm issues. So I don't know what you do there. The Atlanta Braves, Ramona, lost. First of all, my Mets, Ramona, stuck up the place by losing the second game in the doubleheader, as I knew they would. See, when you fail to do the right thing in game one, and you act stupidly, then everything else, you're getting your just due. That's what happens. And the Mets deserved everything that happened to them yesterday. And from a Braves standpoint, it was more the same, Mona. The Braves actually trailed 3-0. Oakland hit a first-inning 3-run home run off Spencer Strider. Spencer settled down, pitched well the rest of the game. In fact, when they took him out, he had thrown 112 pitches. He did not want to leave the hill. He did not want to leave the hill. 112, Ramona. Remember my idiot manager Mendoza took out David Peterson having thrown 90. And then brought in Wild Man Stanek, who came in to give the whole game away. That's an aside. But Spencer Strider did not want to exit the game having thrown, I believe, 112 pitches. He wanted to stay in. I felt like for a second he was just not going to relinquish the ball. So the Braves eventually take a 4-3 lead, Ramona, on Ozzie Albies' home run, which, again, is the first home run that Albies has hit since Biden was president. Basically, I mean, dude had not hit a home run in forever, but he finally homers, and it looks like the Braves are gonna get the W. But they then surrender a bottom-of-the-eighth-inning game-tying home run And so eventually, decided at four. And so eventually we head to extra innings, where surprisingly both these teams with bad records have winning records in extra innings. The Braves have a good opportunity in the 10th inning, but both Ozzie Albies and Michael Harris strike out. They don't lay bat to ball. I mean, that's just killer. You've got to get the stinking runner to third. You know, Ramona, at this point, I was actually listening to this game on the radio at this point. And I'm like screaming at both sides. You've got to get the runner to third. With nobody out, that's the least you can do. You've got to get the runner to third. You cannot be striking out. So Albies and Michael Harris both strike out, and it doesn't go well. And then Baldwin, you know, the kid, he has a good at-bat. It ends with a fly ball out, but he forces them to throw like 10 pitches, and at least he has a good at-bat, and he makes contact, and he doesn't strike out and that type of stuff, the things that Albies and Harris couldn't do in the 10th. And eventually, when you blow too many opportunities, you wind up losing. And that's what happened. The Braves lost and lost the series to the pitiful Oakland A's. So it just continues to get worse, and the Braves continue to do nothing about it. And Snicker remains gainfully employed, at least for now. Again, sort of mystifying, but that's the reality of it. I don't know. You know, look, we have seen the Braves come out and reiterate what I've been telling y'all along. They would not get rid of Sale, and they're not going to, nor would I. I think that you, again, run this back next year with largely the same personnel. I think you do need to make a couple of additions at some point. And one of those is shortstop. You know, I think that you have I think that Al could be a perfect utility infielder. And give you that. Now, he is a terrific fielding shortstop, but, you know, I mean, the Braves pinch hit for him in a key spot last night. How you don't pinch hit for Michael Harris is beyond me. But Albies and Harris both strike out in the 10th when you just needed somebody to make contact, and that was really the game. When those two guys struck out, you had a feeling that this is not going to work for the Braves tonight, and it did not. And I don't know what your way is around that. You know, look, Michael Harris is a good fielder. The Mets have two of these guys. All right, at some point you just have to stop. Like the Mets keep putting Taylor and Torrance in. The Mets with runners in scoring position are atrocious, and when you keep putting Taylor and Torrance in to the bottom of your lineup, you just can't do it. They're each 200 hitters. Neither one of them has any power. I mean, they can't hit the ball out of the infield. You can't play two guys like that. You just can't. They're great defensively. Who cares? You know, that's what they should be used as, late-game defensive substitutions. And right now, that's probably what Michael Harris should be, if anything. You know, I mean, you just get to a point where you can't keep doing it. I mean, honestly, he looks like he's blind. He looks like he's legally blind. I mean, when he's swinging, he's nowhere near the baseball. He's swinging at stuff that's nowhere near the strike zone. And the dude hasn't walked through him in like 150 plate appearances. That's impossible. That's literally impossible. But it's true. I don't know what you do with him, and I don't know what the future for Michael Harris holds. I mean, you know, it started out so good the first couple of years. Last year, his numbers declined. He went down to 264 or something of that sort. And now, you know, in the last month plus, he's hitting 149. Okay, there's nobody who's hitting 149. Nobody except him. Well, except my Mets, Taylor and Torrance. They're both hitting like 149 in the same period, too. Yeah, and the Mets keep sending those two guys out. It's great that they're great on defense. That really helps you when you're trailing 4-2 in the eighth. You know, I mean, you just can't surrender all those ABs. You just friggin' can't. I mean, the Mets last night, Ramona, actually sent Torrance up as a pinch hitter. I'm sorry, you did what? You sent Torrance up as a pinch hitter? Torrance, who who might as well have a wiffle ball bat in his hands. I mean, who literally cannot hit the ball at all, cannot hit the ball out of the infield. I mean, a blast for Torrance would be like 200 feet. And you sent him up as a pinch hitter? Dude is like 0 for a million. He's like worse than Harris. And my idiot Mets sent him up as a pinch hitter. I don't know who's running these two teams. I mean, you might as well have six-year-olds running these teams. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And so the Braves, after coming from behind, remember, they trailed 3-0. You wasted the Strider performance. He hung in there. He did his job. He kept his team connected. He didn't allow any more runs and put his team in a position to come back, which they did. In the Profar two-run home run, and then which tied it at three, and then the Albies home run put the Braves ahead. But then you get to extra innings, and Albies goes Albies, and Harris goes Harris with the ghost runner on second. And the only batter in that inning who looked like he had a freaking clue was Baldwin. Baldwin's the only batter who looked like he had a freaking clue. I mean, Baldwin spoiled like 8-9 pitches before he finally flied out. But at least he made contact. You know, Albies and Harris just struck out. It's sort of funny. This launch angle, especially as it relates to Atlanta, this launch angle thing and everything else that has taken over Major League Baseball, the analytics for Major League Baseball, it doesn't work with the Ghost Runner. It's like it's anti-Ghost Runner. You know, if you want to score the Ghost Runner, you better go back to a friggin' flat swing in old-time baseball and even be willing to bunt him over if need be. I mean, you know, whatever you need to do, especially if you're in the walk-off situation and you have a runner on second, you know, consider bunting him to third. You know, how about that? You just need to get him home. But the problem is nobody knows how to bunt anymore to begin with. And then we're so focused on launch angle and all this stuff. I mean, did you hear, like, in the last, I forget what the time frame was, but the last, was it 30 days, whatever it was, 87% or something like that of the Braves' offense has come from home runs. So, in other words, they don't do anything else but hit home runs. That's all they do. You know, so if that's all you do, you're hitting a lot of solo home runs, too. It's broken. It doesn't mean it can't be fixed. It can be fixed for next year. And I think it will be fixed for next year. I think the Braves will be back and be a really good team next year and win more than 90 games and be – I mean, look – look, just the pitching staff, okay? If you have a Strider and a Schwellenbach and a Sale, all the SS and S boys, if you have just those three, I mean, forget beyond that, but just those three alone, that's an incredible starting pitching staff, incredible. So, you know, if you have that and you have the expected results of this team, look, this team still has a lot of good players on it. They've had a bad year. You know, collectively, they've had a bad year. The injuries right off the start didn't help that. But I've said all along, you know, if you come back next year with Acuna and Profar as your corner outfielders, you look a lot different. You look a lot different. And one thing that's fair to acknowledge is even in the Braves' recent plight is that since Profar's come back, you have a legitimate second outfielder. You have a guy who hits and makes plays. You know, they pointed out during the broadcast, Profar's already hit more home runs since he came back than all the Braves outfielders who played that spot the rest of the year, which is insane. You know, so again, I would run it back and I'd make a few minor additions, tweak it a little bit, but I would run it back next year. And if everybody's healthy, you'll be right back in it. But I would do it with a different manager and I would do that now. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break. We have a ton of college football to get to today. We'll get to that and more on the other side. You can get in 654-7627. Everyone complains you can't get in. You can get in right now if you know what you want to talk about.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-777-1225. That's 800-777-1225. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Kathy Becker, General Manager at Everlon Independent Living in Clemson. Everlon offers seniors independent living options like you've never seen before. Chef-prepared meals, activity programs, a movie room, transportation services, and a fitness room. All within walking distance to Patrick Square restaurants and businesses. Everlon is all-inclusive with no long-term commitments. Call today and book your tour. 864-499-8318. Visit us online at everlonliving.com.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sports book for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, your home for all things analytics and salary cap analysis.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We'll be right back.
Well, I said to Ramona, she said, what do you want to do today music-wise? I said, let's go classic rock. And she went to the BTO. I like it. Like it. Let's get to the phones. And it is Galen and Jack. And then I've been asked about a little story that I told once upon a time. I will tell again. Galen, how are you, Galen? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hear you fine, Galen. Thank you.
Okay, hey, this, you know, you may ban me after this question, but I had to go to the GOAT with it. You were talking about the Ghost Runner. And so in extra innings, they put like a Ghost Runner on second, like we used to call Invisible Man on second. Right,
exactly. Exactly that. Invisible Man on second. Yep.
Do they, yeah, you don't have enough players and your time to bat and you're at second. You go, okay, Invisible Man on second. Okay. Do they do that with no outs?
Yes.
Well, you just, you're the, they ought, Atlanta ought to hire you. I would bunt him to third and then squeeze him home. How do they know if they get him out?
Well, again, especially if you're, you know, for example, Oakland last night after Atlanta's fail, Oakland has a situation where they have nobody out and a runner on second. And at that point, the correct baseball play is to bunt him over. Atlanta doesn't have another at-bat if you score. But I've watched an inning and a half worth of baseball in extra innings where neither team advanced the runner on second to third.
Well, if the Ghost Runner is on third after a sacrifice,
right,
and there's one out, and you bunt it down the first baseline, does he score?
Yes. Except no one's willing to do that, Galen, for whatever reason. No one's willing to do it. And they all want to hit home runs with the runner on second and nobody out.
I thought I was an idiot. So they could do that, like you just said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100% they can do it. Yeah.
All right. One other thing, too. You were talking about outfielders. My favorite is Dewey, number 24, with the Red Sox. But
he had an unbelievable rifle of an arm.
Yes, he was my favorite player. I'm a Red Sox fan, my favorite player of all time. But if you look back in the, I think, the late 70s, early 80s, I'm gonna give you three names, last names, and I can't think of a better outfield than Raines, Valentine, and Dawson.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, the Expos outfield was unbelievable, and all those players were terrific. So you're 100% right. And two of them had absolute hoses for arms, too. Dawson and Valentine.
Yep, and I agree. And then I heard something the other day, the guy, I can't remember, he was from Illinois. You called him
Illini J.
From Illinois. Yeah, whatever. Skippy from Illinois. You know, it wasn't Otis Nixon. It was Claudel Washington that they accused of sniffing the right field line.
Oh, I don't even remember. That's what he said. Okay, I guess I remember
Otis
that
Nixon,
now.
But it wasn't Otis Nixon. Yeah. Otis Nixon was a good guy. It was Claudel Washington.
From now on, Otis Skippy. Otis Nixon's only problem was bad acne.
All right, thanks, Walt. Thank you, Galen. Are the GOAT, man.
Thank you,
Galen. You are the GOAT.
Very kind of you, Galen. Thank you very much. Jack and Easley. Jack, how are you, Jack? Good to have you.
You.
Jack?
Me.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, there we are, Jack. There we are.
Right. Hey, thanks for getting me in.
Absolutely, Jack.
Yeah, so I wanted to touch on the Braves, and I know you probably don't want to talk about them.
No,
I don't
it's
want
fine.
To talk about them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see them anymore. It's hard to watch when I see Michael Harris swing out of his helmet at a ball 20 feet in front of the plate in the dirt. But anyways.
Honestly, if you look at his negative projection the last two seasons, I really wonder, has anybody suggested glasses? You know, a couple Braves players have gone to glasses, and we're seeing more of that around Major League Baseball. I mean, you're hearing some players who've gone to glasses, and their batting average goes up like 75 points, and they're saying, I actually am seeing the ball for the first time in years. Well, you know, you have to wonder at this point with Harris if he doesn't have a vision problem.
Yeah, I didn't even call to talk about that, but, I mean, when I see him go up there, I just expect the worst.
Yeah.
Especially when it's, you know, games on the line, he goes up there. Yeah. You know, I turned it off last night when it went to extras just because I knew. But how does the MLB draft work? I know the Braves have, I don't know the record-wise who has the worst, but theirs can't be, you know, I would assume it's lower than average and they'd be lower in the pack. But does MLB draft work as far as you get the do you get a better pick, lower your record like the NFL, or is it like a lottery type deal?
Well, yeah, it's like that, but you know, it also depends on what prior deals you've made and everything else. You know, and I think that's the issue. I believe the Braves select 20th or something of that sort.
Okay.
Let me check. I'll check that.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I was going to ask you what the Braves should, you know, do in the draft. I don't know what pick they have or if that's already – I know they changed the date of it.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm not finding what I want. I'm finding okay, hold on. Let's see. I'm going to have to find it during the break cuz I'm not finding it. Everything's giving me their pass picks. I don't want their freaking pass picks. Thanks for nothing.
Well, either way.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking and like you just said before you went on break, they've got a lot of starting pitching. I mean, coming next year, regardless if they suck the rest of this year, that's fine. They are loaded with starting pitching. I mean, and then relief pitch, you know, the bullpen needs some help. But is the bullpen, that's not really something you go for in the draft, right? I mean, I feel like that's something you get a guy and you know, how does that work?
Because yeah,
I feel like a relief pitcher is someone you draft in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think so. What you need is you're going to need another polished. Look, some of the guys in the back of this bullpen have been pretty good, just not the one you thought was going to be good, you know. And so, you know, there may be some answers already inherent in the bullpen. But look, there are some positional needs. I mean, I think clearly you need a shortstop. I don't think there's any question about that. And you could certainly address that need in the draft. Even given your situation in the outfield, I still think you need another outfielder as well. I think that the outfield shortage was obvious this year, you know, and we don't really, you know, look, Acuña stayed healthy since he's come back, but can you count on that? And I don't know if you can. So I think you need another outfielder as well. But I think there are some specific need areas that the Braves have, that areas that they have to shore up. But, you know, fundamentally, again, if you bring back everybody healthy and you have Profar and Acuña as your corner outfielders, again, you have to decide what your situation is in center field and what Harris's issue is. But, you know, which again goes to the need of another outfielder. But if you bring back those two guys as your corner outfielders, you know, realize you played most of the first half of the season with nothing but backup corner outfielders. You know, guys who had never really accomplished anything. You know, I mean, you had Kelnick in right for all the early part of the season. And I was begging the Braves to get rid of Kelnick. And I think Eli White has acquitted himself nicely in terms of what he's been able to give you. But you don't want to have, you know, Eli White and Kelnick as starting outfielders. That's like the worst outfield in baseball, especially when you combine it with Michael Harris, who's hitting 200. You know, there's no way to win in that situation. But when you have Profar and Acuña as corner outfielders, you know, regardless of what happens in center, now you're pretty good. I mean, you go from just with that alone, even if Harris sucks, just with that alone, you go from what at the start of the year, I mean, after the Profar suspension, was the worst outfield in baseball. Not even close. I mean, the worst outfield in all of Major League Baseball with just Acuña and Profar. You know, you're top 10 for sure with those two guys, even if you don't figure out Harris's offense.
Yeah. I don't know. And I hate to keep talking about this because I'm sure people want to talk about football. But I want to talk about that too. But do you have any shortstop names? Like that guy, the kid from Arkansas, I think he might play third base. It might be like a Hawaiian guy or something.
Yeah, and you know,
is that targetable?
Well, yeah, and you got a kid from Wake Forest too. But I just, again, the Braves' history, as was discussed before I got in here today, is that they do nothing but draft pitchers, and they sort of screw it up. All right, here I have it. Look up MLB draft order. Yeah, I knew the Braves picked around 20. They're 22. The Braves picked 22nd. The Washington Nationals pick first. The Angels pick second. The Mariners pick third, etc. Where do my Mets pick? Or do we not pick at all? I don't see anything. I don't see any Mets pick. I guess we don't pick at all. Well, that's nice. Well, I won't have to wait on that. So, yeah, 22nd, and we'll see. You know, again, at 22nd, you have to wait and see what's available to you. You can play it all you want, but when 21 people pick ahead of you, you got to wait and see what's available to you.
Yeah. Well, anyways, enough with the Braves. I just have one. I'll just take this question off the air, and I don't know who was talking about it today. I don't know what show or who, but they were talking about Ohio State and Texas.
Uh-huh.
The first game of the year for both of them. And if I'm not mistaken, you have Texas ranked higher?
Yeah, I do have Texas ranked higher, and I think Texas will win that game, even though they're a three-point underdog. Texas, three-point underdog in that game, but I expect Texas to win that game.
I'll take this off the air. Why do you pick Texas? Like, why do you think Texas is better?
Yep.
And then what scares you about Ohio State? And I appreciate it, Walt.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Good job. Well, I think one of the differences is that Texas has two elite edge rushers, and Ohio State has none as of right now. You know, they brought in the kid from North Carolina, who I think will be good. But, you know, Ohio State lost JTT and Jack Sawyer. Both teams lost their offensive line. Texas lost four offensive linemen, including Kelvin Banks, who went ninth in the draft. So both teams suffered major losses there. But I like Texas's additions. They added a talented tight end. They added a talented wide receiver to their mix. You know, I think Wingo, you know, I know the whole world is focused on Jeremiah Smith, and I get that. There's a chance that when all is said and done that Wingo, the Texas rising sophomore wide receiver, actually winds up a better player from a professional standpoint. There's a legitimate chance of that. So they have talent. You know, neither quarterback has experience. Obviously, the game is a road venue. I think Texas has the better running backs right now. Remember, Ohio State lost their whole backfield. Texas at least brings back Wisner, and they get Baxter back. So I think that's a slight edge. But I think if I had to place it in any single area, I think Texas with Simmons and with Trey Moore, who I think is the most underrated pass rusher in the country, I think those two guys, or one of the two, those two guys I think will be the difference. They will be able to exert pressure, and I'm just not sure Ohio State will be able to generate that type of pressure. Ohio State has changes, not just, I mean, you know, you've got Patricia taking over the defense. I don't even know what that means. You know, I mean, that's a significant change for Ohio State. So I like Texas in that game as a three-point underdog. I think it's hard to repeat in anything, and so that's where I am. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'll tell my little Jeep story when we come back.
Make living easy this summer with Craft Stove Store and Patio, America's best in outdoor furniture. Make sure your outdoor space has everything it needs to impress your guests this summer with everything Craft Stove Store and Patio can provide by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint Summer Classics, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can special order anything you need for your patio, porch, and pool furniture with Craft Stove Store and Patio, located at 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create create Newton Scott and Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott and Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. Turner's can customize a unique piece crafted flawlessly to show your love story. And when it's time to look for engagement or wedding rings, you can count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hey, Joe Fortenball here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with the promo code JOEQ to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Crank it up and embarrass your children. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back in the Monaco Diamond League 200 meter. Noah Lyles ran a 19.88 into a slight headwind and beat the Olympic champion Tobago. So how about that? A victory for America and Noah Lyles back at it. I was asked about my Jeep rip experience. So I'll just tell you quickly. Here's what I did. I bought at one point. This was like a number of years ago now, because I basically didn't drive this freaking thing for a number of years. I bought what was a insanely bright red Jeep that had been a show Jeep. I saw this thing parked on the side of the road, and this was your ultimate impulse buy, Ramona. I mean, I drove by it like a number of days. Every time I did, I got out and looked at it. I hated the wheels. I mean, it had mall crawler wheels. I need a utilitarian Jeep. Everything else looked utilitarian enough, except that, you know, I mean, it had all the show Jeep stuff. I knew if I bought the friggin' thing, I would have to get rid of those wheels first thing, because I wasn't going to drive 2 days with those wheels. So I wound up buying the stinking thing, and it only had 14,000 miles on it, and it had a brand new RIP supercharger on it. That was brand new. The supercharger had like 1,000 miles. It was brand new. It was a late addition. That supercharger lasted for like 2,000 miles. It had fluid in it and everything. It lasted for like 2,000 miles, and then it started to make a sound like a meat grinder, like a friggin' industrial meat grinder. And so I called this is when I made some decisions, Ramona. This is when I brought it back to stock. When I called RIP in the middle of June, all right, I called RIP, and I got a message that said they're off for Christmas break. We'll be back in the middle of June. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. And then I had my mechanic call out to California because, you know, RIP is in New Jersey or New York, wherever it was. But in California, that's where they actually make the blowers for the RIP supercharger, right? And so my guy called out there. The guy was going to have either fix it, get a new blower for it, fix it, and or return it to stock. So he calls out there, and the first thing they tell him is that, well, there are two set prices for repairs. One is like $988 something, and the other was $3 something. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. And that's what he told me.
Why are there two?
What? Right. Well, that it wasn't even the two. It was that there were two. You know, in other words, so I said, wait a minute. You're telling me that they already know in advance what the problems are and that they have two set prices for the repairs? So that means they already know that the thing is screwed up. You know what I mean? I mean, they already know that this is like commonplace. I said, no. I go off into the wild blue yonder. I can't be having any of this stuff. I can't be stranded with a meat grinder supercharger on a Jeep that I really don't need anyway, to be honest. I said, bring it back to stock. I'm done. I just rip the freaking thing out. Rip the rip out and bring it back to stock. And that's what I did. That's what I did. And I honestly, Ramona, a few bumps and hurdles since, this is the first time, extended period of time, no issues. The red Jeep actually.
How long have you had no issues? A while.
A while, yes.
How about that?
Yes, exactly. So
about that?
Yeah. So don't ask me about RIP superchargers. Yeah, 100% upstate Gamecock on what you wrote. 100%. We have lots to get to today. I want to talk some college football. We're going to talk about most difficult schedules, also about most interesting teams. And interesting can mean a lot of different things. By the way, I did watch the Kareem Uli film. You know, look, he's an interesting player. You know, I think social media always gets a little carried away, but he's an interesting player. You know, I've seen him listed at 6 feet. I would say he's 5'10", something of that sort. But he has no trouble finding passing lanes. He's a guy who's really athletic. He can move around. He can extend plays. He can throw on the run. His arm is pretty good, especially for a guy his size. You know, I wouldn't label it elite, but I would say it's pretty good. And he throws on the run vertically pretty well in addition. And more than anything else, I think he fits what Clemson wants to be and wants to do offensively. And so, look, it's going to take a couple years' development. This is not going to happen overnight for him, but that's how it works. That's why he's a 2027 quarterback recruit. So I like the film. It's going to be a little bit different body type than you're used to seeing around here in recent years. Very different body type, but I still think he fits what Clemson wants to do schematically from an offensive standpoint well. And, you know, again, you just have to grow him up in the system now and wait for him to develop and eventually get his turn at the plate, so to speak. So I watched that film last night, and that's what I would say. You know, it's interesting. On the Clemson front, you know, I heard some wide receiver discussion with Ben and Sam on my way in, and obviously it's an area that's improved significantly. I was asked on Twitter, you know, I did wide receiver room rankings. Ramona, do you have those wide receiver room rankings I did? And can you tell me what the date I did those was, if you have that? But I was asked by, who asked me? Sam asked me. If I would do individual top 10 wide receiver rankings as well, and where would I put Clemson guys? And I said I could do that. But I believe I've only ranked the wide receiver room so far.
This is wide receiver rooms, yes.
How many did
that on June 19th.
Okay, how many did I rank?
12 with a tie at 12.
There's always a tie. Run that down for me, because this is one I sort of remember the top few, but I don't know about all the rest of them. Run that down for me.
12 is Texas and Auburn.
Yeah. Again, okay, so let me restate how I did this. It's sort of how I do everything. It's not, I didn't evaluate these in a vacuum. I considered the circumstance, the quarterback play, the coaching, that type of stuff, the returning quarterbacks, etc. I considered all of that in this list. I'm sorry, did you say Texas and Auburn at 12?
Yes.
Okay, so both these teams have elite receivers, but they both have, questionable quarterback situations. Not that I think Arch Manning is a question. I don't. I think he's going to be great and eventually, a top 7-8 type pick. But I think even at Auburn with Jackson Arnold, I mean, look, really good additions, and I think these groups will be really good. If these teams had returning, starting, proven quarterbacks, they would both be much higher in the rankings. So that's how it worked, okay?
Okay, 11 is Georgia.
Yeah, again, I think Georgia is loaded. They still have a little bit of a quarterback question. And they have a proof question, too. I think that, on paper, the Georgia receiving room looks good.
10 is Alabama.
Again, this is a quarterback thing. If Alabama had a proven quarterback, and that's not Simpson, if Alabama had a proven quarterback, then this group would be probably number two. But they don't. I think this receiving group is very good. You have three talented guys. But that's the strongest area of the football team. And if we're going to ask why didn't Arch Manning beat out Quinn Ewers, well, then why didn't Ty Simpson beat out Jalen Milroe? Okay.
9 is Penn State.
Yeah, that's why, when we were talking about this list yesterday, that's why receiver is not a question for Penn State, not anymore. They answered that question. So that was dumb, and that ESPN list we were looking at, we're going to get back to that too.
8 is Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think the additions are the key there. Go ahead. Adding to Great House.
7 is Mississippi.
Yeah, again, I think you have a talented quarterback, and I think they did a really good job in the portal. They landed one of my favorite portal receivers.
6 is Oregon.
Yeah, it's always a loaded receiving core. It is again. And I think Dante Moore is going to have a big statistical year.
5 is Indiana.
Yeah, well, you have one of the best receivers in the country, and you have an offense that's passer-friendly, and you have Mendoza pulling the trigger.
4 is Arizona State.
Again, arguably the best receiver in the country, and Levitt, who's a magician at quarterback.
3 is LSU.
Yeah, even way back when I did this, I was respecting the LSU receivers, Morgan Thomas. So this goes right back to that conversation from yesterday, and I have them apparently grouped right together. So I have LSU at 3.
2 is Clemson.
Again, I think the diversity of the Clemson receiving group, that you have all these various pieces and various body types now, I think that's what makes the group special. And the fact that you have a lot of returning production. And you have continuity with your quarterback and your offensive line. So it would be somewhat shocking if Clemson's wide receiver group wasn't hyper productive this year. And it's interesting because, Matt Miller, who I basically think is a clown show, but he had Antonio Williams 14 in his round one mock draft. I saw that on social media. This was a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's insane. Okay, that's just never happening. All right. I love him as a player collegiately, but you're talking about a 4-6 slot receiver. Okay, so that's just never happening. And I don't know that he's the best receiver on this team. In fact, I don't think so over the course of this season. And we'll talk more about that as part of this because Sam wants me to rank the top receivers, not just the rooms. And then 1 is Ohio State, and that's fairly obvious. Now, Ohio State was the one team that I sort of skipped the quarterback question because I think they do have an answer at quarterback, and because their talent is so friggin' overwhelming that you can't put them anywhere but 1. That's the one that I sort of skipped the the quarterback part of the equation on. So that's the answer to where I ranked the wide receiver rooms. That was about a month ago. And I've been asked to rank the individual wide receivers. I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that this weekend and give you that next week. But we have lots to get to from a college football perspective. And I do want to get back into the ESPN list from yesterday. We had covered, I guess, six or seven teams. A lot of college football talk today. You know, one of the more interesting players, and we're going to talk about what I think are the most interesting teams in college football today. But one of the more interesting players for Clemson is obviously Brown at receiver. You know, he's been out of sight, out of mind. He's been injury prone. But, you know, look, when we last saw him healthy, you know, people thought he was better than Antonio because he was more explosive. You know, he was – and so is it possible – I mean, those guys were both freshman All-Americans. Is it possible that he reenters this mix and is back to being productive? It would be almost a bonus because he's been out of sight, out of mind. But he has talent. I mean, we saw the talent. We saw the talent his freshman season. We saw it. So he's the other interesting piece in this mix. But, you know, look, you want diversity in your receiving corps. You want different body types, different strengths. You want to take the top off guy. You want a catch point guy. You want a possession guy. You want a slot body type. You know, you want these different types. And that's how you want to assemble a receiving corps. Clemson has not had that in a long time. For a while there, they had a bunch of slot receiver types. Everybody was built the same way, had the same strengths. That just wasn't working. And, of course, you had all the injury problems, too. Now, you know, you seem relatively healthy. You have multiple body types. You have continuity. You have chemistry with the quarterback. You have continuity with the offensive line. That means that all the receivers are going to play well. I mean, you know, Wesco is somewhat of a surprise in that, you know, his 10-meter split is nothing like his 100-meter time. There's some sort of wild disconnect there. I've guessed at what it's from, but, you know, again, you know, I was told internally that his 10-yard split was as good as any Clemson player in recent years. And we saw the long speed. We also saw a high level of production, some of it against lesser teams. I think Moore is the most interesting receiver in the whole bunch. And I thought this when I did the class analysis way back when. You know, remember, he was not there for spring football. He really came on late. And I think he was maybe this team's best receiver late. But he wasn't there for spring football. That's a major disadvantage that, for example, Wesco was. And so if you sort of extrapolate this thing out and you realize that you're going to get a year or two more that's had a lot more time in the system, I think it's reasonable to think he blows up this year. And I think you're going to see that. Walt Diptula, Road Rage. Okay, we have lots to get to. You can get in and join any of this conversation. You're welcome to 654-7627.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
What we love about our ability to help patients at QC Kinetics is seeing their pure delight at finally being able to do the things they